So how is this intimacy with God experienced and realized? Well, it's through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In another passage, Jesus says it's good he's going to the Father because it's really important he goes to the Father so that the Spirit can be sent in a new way upon all flesh, just as Joel prophesied many years before and is fulfilled first on Pentecost Sunday in Jerusalem. It's through the Spirit that we brought into an intimate relationship with God. It's through the Spirit that we feel and experience and know the presence of God. It's through the Holy Spirit. And that Revelation 3 passage, "Here I am at the door and knock," that's not written to non-Christians, although often evangelists will use it as a text to say, open the door for Jesus to come into your life. It's actually written to Christians. Open the door and let Jesus come with the Father into your life. And then the 25 to 27, that's in the lectionary. It wasn't in your reading, but it is actually listed for today. If we are experiencing the presence of God, if we are experiencing the Spirit in our lives, then what should characterize us is an increasing growth of the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be anxious for the future and all the rest of it. So one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. I can really see you're all tremendously thrilled and excited with this. So it's time for the bouncy castle. You see, the church is like a bouncy castle. And the individual Christian is like a bouncy castle. Here we have a bouncy castle. There's a couple of problems with this bouncy castle. Would you agree? Okay, it has some shape and form, but it's currently not fulfilling its creative purpose, is it? What's missing, everybody? Air. And in the scripture, in the Old Testament, the word is ruach, which I love saying because I'm a Scot. And the New Testament, the word is pneuma, where we get pneumatic drills and all the rest of it. And pneuma and ruach mean wind or breath or spirit. Wind, breath, or spirit. So this has some kind of shape and form, but it's misshapen at the minute. It's not even in the right shape. And it's two-dimensional, and it's just not doing what it's supposed to do. It needs something. It needs wind. It needs spirit, right? So this can be a metaphor for the individual Christian, or it can be a metaphor for the church. Acts chapter 2, as they were waiting, this is Peter, who had been so fearful of proclaiming his relationship to Jesus, he denied him three times. This is a community that had been hiding behind locked doors, suddenly changes and goes out and proclaims Jesus as Lord unto their deaths. Tradition has it that Peter was killed for his faith. James was beheaded in Jerusalem, and so on. Most of the disciples were killed for their faith. Something changed. And the thing that changed was the indwelling and enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so have to bear with me a little moment as I set this up. I do this every Tuesday morning, so I'm reasonably confident at it. Famous last words. So in order to function, it needs air, breath, wind, spirit. All things being equal, if I don't tangle myself up in my robes, are you all excited? Apprehensive? Oh, don't be apprehensive. Yes, I did wonder about that. Unfortunately, this is designed for children. So I'm sorry to say I'm not allowing any adults to bounce on it today. My big problem in the next service is going to be stopping the children bouncing on it. Now notice, does it instantly become shaped? No, it takes time. It takes time, okay? Hey, Yusuf. Goodbye. Okay, so a couple of observations. It doesn't just happen immediately, it takes time. Second observation, notice the machine has not stopped sending breath and air into it in order for it to take shape. And that is the same with the Christian and the church with the Holy Spirit. In the same way that this needs an ongoing flow of breath and air in to give it shape, so does the church, so does the individual Christian. That's why in Ephesians 5, Paul says, be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, look, it still looks the same, doesn't it? For a short time. This is the church without the Spirit. Oh, it first of all looks all right, but then, oh dear. Oh dear. But oh, it's still got some shape. Still looks like a bouncy castle, kind of. This is the church in and out of history, with and without the Spirit. This is the individual Christian with and without the Spirit. It's not that immediately the Christian stops looking like a Christian, but the Spirit is not flowing into this Christian's life. The Spirit is not flowing into this church's life. It's losing shape. I'm not suggesting you bounce on it. If you did, you'd get hurt. Point of the matter is that if, for whatever reason, the air is blocked, then the shape and the function of the bouncy castle or the church or the Christian begins to be diminished. And what is it that blocks the flow of air? Unrepented sin. Unrepented sin. Things that block the flow of the Spirit in our lives. And sometimes, if I had time, I was going to twist this. If you twist this, it won't allow the air to flow. And sadly, many of us struggle with this. And so, to be honest, the Christian's life is quite often up full, a wee bit of diminishment, up full, a wee bit of diminishment, up full, more, up full. It's not that it's not a bouncy castle, it's not that it's not a Christian, but the actual enabling of its existence and function is dependent on the flow of the Spirit in that person's life, yeah? So things like bitterness, offense, holding on to offense, letting go of offense, I've discovered afresh in the last 6 months, has nothing to do with the other person. It's to do with your own heart. You need God's help to forgive. It doesn't matter if the other person repents or says sorry to you or not. You need God's help to forgive. It's hard. It's really hard. I need the Spirit of God's help with that. Not having idols in your life, not choosing to put things in your life that are not of God, that are going to block the flow of God's Spirit in your life. Plus, there's your history, and that requires the Holy Spirit to breathe through you and bring a gradual freedom to your life, setting you free from the history of your past, your scripts from life, and all the rest of it. There's a process. So this is not a perfect metaphor. There's another thing that happens to this. I'm going to blow it up again. So even if you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't live in a neutral environment. Now, unfortunately, I cannot do this literally because then I wouldn't have this available for the next sermon. You see, all around the castle are the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to quote Shakespeare. This is going to be attacked. It's going to be attacked with accusation and allegation from the devil. And sometimes one of the images of that is it's like an arrow. It crashes in and it punctures the castle. What happens if it gets punctured? Deflation and even collapse. And that can be hurts. That can be spiritual attack. It can be all manner of things. And as we get wounded, and we do get wounded as Christians, most especially by other Christians, as we get wounded by one another and by the wider world, as we get attacked, it's like being pierced. And as we are pierced, unless God can bring healing to us, then we're going to constantly have the flow of the Spirit out of our life. It's not a perfect analogy, but do you see what I'm trying to say? And one of the things that we're told is that God binds up the brokenhearted. And so if you're brokenhearted, if you've got pains and hurts and unresolveds and all the rest of it, if words have been spoken over you, like word curses that sit in your soul and spirit shaping your life, it will deflate you, to use your word. It will rob you of the fullness and the freedom of God's Spirit in your life. And it's not your fault necessarily. The next thing is that God's Spirit, you need God to help you have that bounding up. That's sometimes why you need someone else to come along and help that process. And to be honest, it's not really a sticky plaster. It's a whole new freedom. So the analogy is not perfect. It's not perfect. Do you see my point? So that's why in our liturgy, we constantly refer to the Holy Spirit. That's why at the end of the liturgy, I send you out in the power of the Holy Spirit to live and work to God's praise and glory. That's why tonight I've asked people in the region to come and join us to pray. It's very simple. I'm leading a time of sung worship, like seven songs. It's going to go on for over half an hour. of just praise and worship, and then openness to God's Spirit. And we're asking God's Spirit to come and fill all the Christians from the different churches represented, that we all might be filled and enabled to be witnesses to Jesus, just like the early church. We're praying. We're gathering in one place to pray. That's why we've been encouraging people to pray over the last 11 days. That's why we had 8 hours of prayer in the Heritage Church on Friday with people playing tag, passing on that time of prayer. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. So that's why yesterday we did a whole day to do with the Holy Spirit on Alpha, so that we wouldn't just be this kind of Christian, this kind of church. I'm longing and praying for this. I just want to show you one more time. And interestingly, when the church is inflated by the Spirit, to use that language, it's actually got some strength to it. It can even hold burdens. Possibly an adult, but we're not going to try it. It can actually resist. It has form and shape. It's, relatively speaking, strong. Do you see the point? So, there is no shame in coming up week in, week out, saying, oh, I need prayer for God to fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. The only thing stopping people doing that is pride or a false understanding. Yesterday, I received prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was lovely. And we prayed for everyone else. It was great. So be open to God's Spirit. Seek God's filling. Look for that so that the gifts of the Spirit might be exercised in your life and the fruit of the Spirit might become increasingly evident in your life. Amen. You might remember this sermon. We'll just call it the Bouncy Castle Sermon. In fact, I would go so far as to say I'd like us to be a Bouncy Castle Church. And no one will know what I'm talking about, but you do. So as I clear that away, I'm going to invite, now Wendy was there, Mrs. Kerr was there, Robin was there, Royston was there, Andrew was there. We haven't got time to ask all of you to come up. I just need a couple of you, if you're willing, just pop up and tell people a little bit about yesterday. Anyone willing to come up and say anything about yesterday?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I've had a grin on my face for the last 24 hours, and no, I haven't found an old bank book, but I feel just like that bouncy castle. We had the Holy Spirit Day yesterday as part of the Alpha course, and it is just so fulfilling. It tops you up. I have done the Alpha course 3 times. This is my 4th. And this is the most rewarding. So even if you're a Christian of long standing or you've done the Alpha course before, I would encourage you to do it again. Even if you can't come to the whole thing and you just come to the Holy Spirit one. It is such a blessing, and it's a blessing in many aspects because you see new Christians come to Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see all of us that I've been a Christian all my life, and you see us topped up. And that analogy of the bouncy castle is so right for today because that's exactly how I feel. So my encouragement for you is, we will run the Alpha course again, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes, next year.
Do it. Because it's like being given a $400 ticket to a concert and saying, no, I've got to bake a cake that day. It's a great opportunity. That's my request to you all. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for those praying for the course. Yeah, it's been really good. Andrew. It's interesting you guys have got up because you're long established Christians, both of you. So, anyway, yeah.
Well, Kerry's just about said it all. But my experience was I learned more about God and the Holy Spirit. And when we were prayed for, it's quite strange. I felt like that bouncy castle. And when Verity said, or Kat said to me, how do you feel? I said, I feel as though I'm going to float away. I felt as though, no, it was true. I felt like, you know, the Michelin man that used to float over. I said to Alf, that's how I felt. So it was a time of refreshment, renewal, and learning, and coming closer to God. And I recommend you take courage in both hands and have a go at it. Do it next year, because it'll really bless you in a great way.
Okay, well, the good news is you don't have to wait a year to be prayed for to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. You can ask any other Christian to do it. We've been learning how to pray for one another. It's very, very simple. So at the end of services, I want to introduce this idea that we can pray for one another after the services. And it becomes normative, it becomes part of our culture. And one very simple request, week in, week out, you can always ask another Christian or people to pray for you. Just please pray I can be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And then if something blocking, Lord, help me to get, with your help, remove whatever's blocking the flow of your Spirit in my life. You know, and if you've been hurt, Lord, help me to let go of that hurt and bind up my broken heart, and so on and so forth. These are good prayers. These are good prayers. Okay, thanks. And it was very encouraging.